Hey guys, I hope you all had a great past week and I hope you're having a great day as you're listening to this. So this is the Muslim Next Door podcast and I'm your host Shifat. So this past week has been very interesting. We went back into lockdown in the province that I live in Ontario. And so we're on lockdown until January 28, I believe. So got a whole month now. Everything's shut down except for essential businesses, which is fun. So they shut down on the 26th of December, which is Boxing Day. So no one got to do any Boxing Day shopping in store. It was all online, but I opted out of it because I've spent all my money. So I hope if you do celebrate Christmas that you had a good Christmas. And as this being a Muslim podcast, I don't think many of my listeners do, but I guess, and this was a conversation kind of that was going on TikTok a lot the past 2 weeks, which is Muslims celebrating Christmas and why it was wrong and, you know, why it was wrong to justify celebrating it. And so I was seeing people kind of like, oh, but we're celebrating the Prophet's birthday. We should be allowed to celebrate it. It's like, one, birthdays aren't even supposed to be celebrated. Two, the Prophet, you know, it was known that the Prophet was born in the spring or summer, not in the winter, so it doesn't make sense. And there's no reason to celebrate Christmas because it's not our holiday. In Islam, we have two holidays, and that's Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. When we choose to celebrate Christmas, we're choosing to associate ourselves with a religion that is not ours. Christmas is a Christian religion, and I understand there's some people who celebrate it minus the religion. They don't associate the religion with it, but at the end of the day, the tradition and the celebration itself comes from that religion. And so to kind of celebrate it and make it your own, do the Christmas tree and the presents, it's not right. And you know, and like people are like, oh, but my children are gonna miss out and they're gonna get like jealous of other children who get to celebrate it. It's like, well, why don't you make this big of a deal on Eid al-Fitr and on Eid al-Adha? You know, growing up, my parents always made it a thing to take me and my siblings to go pick up a gift from Toys R Us when we were kids, or Walmart, or whatever. And they let us pick it and be like, okay, here you guys go, it's how you choose what you want and we'll get it for you. And we did that every Eid. And we would go to Eid prayer in the morning, we'd buy new Eid clothing, and we would set it up the night before. We'd wake up in the morning, we'd get dressed, we'd put on Sami Yusuf, and we'd drive to Friday to the Eid prayer, and we'd pray, and we'd see all our friends and have so much fun, and then we'd go get breakfast, and then we'd go home, take a nap, and then we would go get gifts, and then we'd have dinner, and we'd just spend time together. You know, back in the day when people actually used to visit each other a lot, we'd go visit people and people would come visit us, and there was a lot of traditions that we did. And as we got older, you know, my parents got more tired, they got more busy, we started having our own kind of things to do, so we kind of fell out of doing that. And then one day a couple years ago, me and my sister, my eldest sister, we have always been excited for Eid, and so we were the ones that were always like, let's go to prayer when we got older. My other sisters not as much. And so then my brother, the 1 year, goes, oh, why should I even be excited for Eid? It's not like we do anything fun. And me and my sister, we got really like upset because he felt like he didn't have something for himself, you know, and he'd see kids during Christmas getting gifts and everything. So we didn't want him to crave wanting to celebrate Christmas and be like non-Muslims. So we decided that every Eid we were gonna get gifts. And so we kind of, I remember the first two Eids because Eid al-Fitr and then right after Eid al-Adha came. We went all out with the gifts. We went crazy. I think the first Eid we had spent over $1,000 on gifts just for everyone in the family. We're a family of seven. And we ended up buying each other gifts as a joke. And so we decorated it all. We wrapped the gifts and we made it so pretty and we put them on a table and we decorated around it with our Eid decorations, and so it looked really cool. And my brother was super excited, you know, and that morning he woke up extra early so he can get up, open the gift. We went for prayer, but you know, we were like, no, we need to open them as a family, so here's your first gift, we'll go to prayer, we'll come back, we grab breakfast, woke up the whole family with coffee, and we just opened the gifts, and it was fun and it was nice. And then, you know, we went on about doing other things, and so this suddenly became a tradition, the whole gifts. And so recently during quarantine we had Eid, and we had two Eids during quarantine. And so we decided for the one Eid that we were gonna buy each other gifts, and everyone in the family joined, even my little brother. So we have piled up over 50 gifts. It was crazy. like a couple of us got like 5 gifts, and me and my sister, we got like just joke gifts along with real gifts, and we bought for each other, and so it was really cool and it was super fun. And we decided for next night to do where everyone picks a name and buys each other a gift so we don't go crazy, because we kind of went a bit too crazy. And I think it was because we were in lockdown, and this was towards the beginning of lockdown, you know, right after Ramadan. And so we were just kind of like online shopping no matter what. So getting gifts for someone was a good excuse to do some online shopping. So that's kind of what we did. And so we wrapped up the gifts and we decorated, and it looked amazing. We even decorated outside of the house because we had the time. And it was a lot of fun. And so when you create these traditions for yourself, you know, you start to crave less and less what other people do. And so that was kind of our purpose of wanting to do that, is that we have our own celebrations, you know, in Islam, and we have our own traditions, we have our own things. Why do we have to go and want to be like other people? You know, why do we have to go put up a Christmas tree on Christmas Day and put presents and act as if, you know, that's our celebration when it's not? You know, and being a Muslim, you should be proud of the 2 celebrations you have, and you should be excited for them. And you should be doing, you know, putting the same energy that you put towards wanting to celebrate Christmas towards those 2, you know, holidays. And what more do you need than that? You know, we have Ramadan, the month of fasting, which is honestly the most beautiful month of the year, and we end it with such a beautiful celebration. And then a couple of months later, we get Eid al-Adha. So it's just kind of understanding that we have our own traditions and we have our own celebrations. And we need to kind of understand that and accept that and be happy that we have those celebrations. You know, we're not saying don't celebrate. We're saying just don't celebrate Christmas because it's not ours. And, you know, the history of Christmas and, you know, the history behind Christmas is very non-Muslim. And so, you know, this whole people justifying it and wanting to celebrate it, it doesn't sit right with me and my soul, because, you know, it's not a celebration. And obviously, I'm not saying, what I'm about to say is not me saying go celebrate. It's just like, if you are gonna celebrate it as a Muslim, just don't justify it, because there's no way to justify celebrating Christmas. And so when you do, it just doesn't seem right. So that's my opinion, honestly, and I'm not sitting here to judge people, and I'm not sitting here to be like, oh, you're bad or whatever, but just like, it's kind of like a, hey, take a step back, take a look at it, understand what Christmas is, why are you doing this, you know, we have our own celebrations kind of thing. And in the end of the day, to each their own. I just don't want, you know, future generations to lose their celebrations and their traditions for Eid and start adapting to Christmas, because that's what generally happens. You know, whatever you celebrate, whatever you do gets passed on to your children, and your children pass it down. So it's like, you need to remember those kind of things. Just like when you speak Arabic in the house, you know, I know a lot of people who were born here, and unfortunately their parents didn't speak to them as much Arabic, and they didn't push on them enough to, you know, learn the language that they grew up here, and they don't really know it. They understand it, but can they speak it properly? Not really. You know, and my Arabic isn't the greatest, but it's enough to get me by. It's enough for me to be able to go back to Lebanon and talk to my family and for them to understand me. And, you know, I can read it a bit. You know, writing is still not there. Like I've said before, I'm working on it. But, you know, when you don't talk to your children in Arabic, they lose that language. And then when it comes to their children, it's gone, you know? And so I kind of look at these things like, what do I want to pass down on to my children? I want my children for sure to speak Arabic. I want my children for sure to celebrate Eid and do big things on those days. And so, like, I think that's the approach we need to take, because you can slowly lose your religion through generations, and you can slowly lose traditions and culture. And so for me specifically, especially being raised in the West, it's very important for me that, you know, in the future when I do have kids, that I'm able to pass down Arabic, I'm able to pass down my religion, so it continues through generations, you know, so I can say, like, I did what was on my part, and I taught my kids, and they learned it, and it just, what they end up doing with it really is up to them, but, you know, I did what I had to do. And similar to my parents, you know, they came here, a lot of people were like, oh, your kids aren't gonna be good Muslims, they're gonna lose their religion, they're gonna lose language, and, you know, we ended up turning out pretty decent, you know. My younger siblings, unfortunately, you know, their Arabic isn't the greatest. I do have my one younger sister who kind of, she does try to adapt into wanting to fit into Western culture and how and society, and so I feel like when she gets older, she's gonna regret that. I mean, I know I did. And so, you know, we let her go through it, obviously, and as she gets older, she gets closer to wanting to speak Arabic, to kind of understand it better. And, you know, that's all we can really hope for. But, you know, I know a lot of people whose parents, they speak perfect Arabic and their kids can barely, you know, understand it. And so it's very upsetting for me when that happens, because, you know, you're losing that, because you're not, that person who didn't learn Arabic properly isn't going to be able to pass it on. And they're probably not going to push on their kids to do it. And even if they do push on their kids are going to be like, why should I learn it if you don't know it? Kind of thing. And so this whole, you know, wanting to adapt into Western society and Western culture, it does take away a lot, even if you don't realize it. You know, you can lose your language, your religion, your traditions. And so we need to focus more on keeping those going through generations, so we don't lose it. You know, I know a lot of Muslim people who, you know, their parents were born here as well, you know, and it was their grandparents that came here, and their parents kind of lose the religion, you know, they're like halfway there, and then the kids are not even there. And so it's like, it saddens me to see that, because it's like, you were born as a Muslim, you know, you have that step up, you know, there's people who convert into Islam who are like, wow, like, you're lucky to be born Muslim, you know, I wasn't. And so when I converted, you know, a lot of people who converted, you know, you were born a Muslim and you were lucky to be born a Muslim, and you should be thankful for that, and you should be taking advantage of that. Because, you know, there are people who convert to Islam, and when they do convert, they lose a lot. They lose their connection with their family, they lose friends, you know, they lose coworkers. You know, there's a lot of people who don't accept other people's choices, and so when they convert, they lose a lot. And so for them to convert and to know that they're going to lose so much but still do it, you know, it shows their true love for Islam and their true love for God. And it's like, if these people can give up so much when they want to convert, why can't we give up small things, you know, to continue teaching our kids and continue, you know, wanting to learn and continue wanting to pass down Islam and our language. You know, I've seen so many converts who, they go study in Egypt or wherever, and they come back and they can speak Arabic, they can read Arabic, and, you know, they know their religion so well. And it's like, why aren't we doing that with our kids? Why aren't we pushing that for our kids? You know, as Muslims, we should want that for them, not for them to go to a Canadian school or wherever, American school, and learn English and, you know, become the greatest doctor, and forget that along with it, we need to push Arabic, we need to push teaching them Quran, we need to push teaching them Islam. You know, whether, you know, you as a parent, you may not speak Arabic or properly or write it properly, but you should push for your children to go to school for it, you know, Sunday school or Saturday school or whatever it is. You know, that's what I did growing up. We went to a weekend school where we would learn it. Didn't learn the most, because just my luck with teachers wasn't the greatest, but, you know, at one point I did start learning, and I surrounded myself with friends who, you know, were strong in Arabic and who would help me. And, you know, I was lucky to get a teacher at one point who, you know, focused on teaching me specifically and got me to a point where I can read Arabic and I can write it a bit. And so I had to work on it myself afterwards. And so I think also having my mom push on me, saying like, you need to learn it, you need to understand it, in a way that wasn't very forceful, but it was just like that support that I needed, and that just that reminder to continue doing it. And, you know, and a huge thing for me was when I went to Lebanon 2 years ago, at that point my Arabic wasn't the greatest because I wasn't practicing it enough at home specifically. You know, I was just talking straight up English, school straight up English. So I started to, you know, lose my Arabic, and I started to notice that. And so ever since I came back, you know, I tried to talk more Arabic. I try to, you know, at home, just like if I'm talking to my mom or my dad, it's in Arabic. And like, even answering them, like sometimes my mom will say stuff in English, I'm like, I'll answer in Arabic. Just because, like, when I went down, it was kind of embarrassing for me because, you know, everyone spoke Arabic, everyone. And so, like, speaking English, barely anyone would understand me. And my Arabic was so bad, my cousins would make fun of me. And they're just like, on every word I said, would like hang up on it and be like, oh my gosh, why would you say it like that? That's not the right way. And they just start laughing at me. And it was just like, I was just like this huge running joke the whole like month that I was there. And I didn't get upset. I didn't really care. You know, it was funny because I know my Arabic was bad, but I was like, if I want to go back down again, I want to be able to communicate with them properly and have them not make fun of me, because, you know, I when I went down 2 years ago, it was the first time I was seeing them in like 10 years. So it, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know them that well. And I can barely even communicate with them well. Even when I did, they would make fun of me. Like, obviously they understood what I was saying, but it was just like, when there's a lot of people, I would get like stressed out and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to embarrass myself. So I would like sit quietly. Especially with my older cousins too. The younger ones I could get away with because like, I could make fun of them too on their Arabic because they would mess up a lot as well. But, you know, with my older siblings, my older cousins, it was like, oh, I have to be very careful, especially because they're older. Their jokes were a lot harsher. And so, like, it was like, okay, either you need to speak or probably just not speak at all. And that's kind of the way I took it. And so I was like, if I'm going to go back again, I need to be able to, you know, speak it a lot better. You know, I can understand it, no problem. But just speaking it was the problem. And like, not even with just my cousins, you know, when we would go out to like little shops and we'd go shopping or whatever, buy something, or at a restaurant, I would get so embarrassed because I'm like, my Arabic is so bad and this person's probably not gonna understand me. And so like, my cousins would push me to talk, but I was just like, you can order, I just want like a shawarma, if we were like at a restaurant. So, you know, I feel like I needed to work on that, and so I did. And I'm glad I did, because now like it's easier for me to talk in Arabic. And like my brother-in-law, he's not from here, he's only been in Canada for 3 years, so his English is like okay, like it's decent, but you know, he prefers to speak in Arabic, so he's always talking to us in Arabic, and so I'm always responding in Arabic. And I catch myself sometimes, I realize like there's a lot of words that I have trouble pronouncing in Arabic, or I just don't know the word for it, so like I'll opt to switch to English, but I try to like not do that so I can like learn what words to use and how to pronounce them. And so like when I do mispronounce it wrong, that's it, I'm a laughing stock for a good 5 minutes in the family. And so we all do it. Like even my mom sometimes, you know, she's been here for what, like 29 years now, so like even her Arabic has been like hit. So like even sometimes she says stuff wrong and we make fun of her, but it's like, it's nice to know that we have it and that we understand it, and that if I do want in the future to teach my kids, I could do it, you know. And I obviously, I'm not gonna just solely teach them, I would need to send them off to a school to do that, but like in the home, you know, I can talk Arabic, I can get my kids used to that in the future. So that's like my whole thing, it's like we need to know it ourselves to be able to teach it. We should be passing on all these traditions and religious holidays and everything should be passed down, and we should be able to not lose it, because I feel like if we continue forgetting our traditions and our religion, we're gonna lose that. And you know, unfortunately, our kids may not end up wanting to follow the religion because we don't do it as well. But other than that, we are nearing the new year and 2020 is almost over. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it feels like 2020 has been, you know, going on for 20 years. It's been a long year. A lot has happened this year, and it's crazy to think that, you know, we've as a world have experienced so many hard things this year. And I think people individually have been through a lot this year. A lot of people's hope for 2021 is that COVID disappears and life goes back to normal, but I'd like to have that hope too, but I don't really think that's how it works, unfortunately. But I just hope the next year does get a lot better. You know, I never used to be the person who would wait till like December 31st and create my resolutions and be like, yeah, new year, new me. I was never that type of person. And I would never be like, oh, I hope the next year is better. You know, it was just kind of like living life. I'm like, oh, I hope tomorrow's better. It was never like this whole like, oh, 2021 kind of thing. Like that whole mentality, I didn't really have it, because in the home, we never really cared for it. We just like celebrated just for fun. Like, yeah, new year, woo, whatever, you know, watch the fireworks, watch the countdown, whatever it was. But this year specifically, I'm like, I hope 2021 is better, because the past year has just not been it. And I'm kind of like, let me look forward to this and hopefully it does get better somehow. And, you know, like, hopefully, you know, these vaccines work. I know there's conversation about people taking it, whether they do or not. But I hope we can get to some sort of normalcy in 2021. I hope everyone's year gets better. I know for me personally, my year was, it was very all over the place. It was like a roller coaster of a year. So like, I can say it was the worst year of my life, but I can also say it was one of the greatest years of my life, in different aspects, you know, in the aspect of finding myself, you know. As hard as it was to sit at home, it caused me to, you know, reevaluate a lot of things in my life, reevaluate the friendships that I have, reevaluate, you know, the choices I was making. And it made me realize a lot of things. And, you know, I even started this podcast because of this quarantine, which is like a huge thing for me. So it's like there's a lot of things that kind of changed for me and made me into a better person. But there was also things that happened in 2020 that, you know, weren't the best. You know, I received news that just isn't great and something I don't really want to talk about. But, you know, there was a lot of things that happened as well that, you know, weren't great. And so it's just like it was a weird balance of it all. And it's like, did I love this year? Did I hate this year? I think I was okay with this year. I think I was, you know, I dealt with it. I got through it. And I'm like, I'm glad it's over. We went through it. We got it done. On to the next. And hopefully it gets better. I don't know what 2021 looks like for me personally. There's a lot of things in hanging in the balance, and I'm not sure what I need to do. And so 2021's looking a little rocky as well. But alhamdulillah, always alhamdulillah first. But I just want to keep this hope of it's gonna get better. I mean, it can get worse, but hopefully it doesn't. I don't know what worse it can get than a pandemic, maybe a world war. I mean, we were close to that in 2020. It's crazy to think that there was so many things that happened in 2020. And just like, I was watching a TikTok and they were talking about how, you know, Kobe passed away this year. Chadwick Boseman passed away this year. You know, all these greats passed away, and it was crazy. And World War IV almost started like this year. That was 2020. You know, all those jokes and memes that came out, that was 2020. And it's crazy to me to think like that was just the beginning of this year. And COVID hit, and, you know, there was a lot that went on. There was the wildfires. Like, it's just crazy to me to think that there was so much that happened pre-COVID, because we had 3 months of, like, or 2 months of no COVID kind of thing, because here it started in March. And so, like, in those first 2 months, January, February, a lot happened. And we forget those things happened, because we just, that's it, khalas. Like, we associate 2020 with COVID, and that's it. But like when I sat down yesterday, I'm like telling you, I saw these TikToks and I was just like thinking about it. I'm like, wow, we did go through a lot, and it's insane. But I feel like I want to, for myself personally, set a goal, and that goal is to continue what I'm doing now and not to give up and not to stop what I'm doing, even if I feel like I can't do it anymore. I just want to continue working on myself and continue the work that I've done in this past year, in the past couple months. You know, I feel like I did achieve a lot and I did change a lot as a person, and I think my opinions on a lot of things in life did change, especially in the last month or two. You know, I don't want to put things on hold anymore. I don't want to be like, I'll do this later. I want to get things done now. And you know, you never know what the future holds, so it's like, let's just live our lives, let's do it, let's be good people, and let's not regret not doing certain things. And so I kind of want to take that mentality going into 2021 and continue, you know, living my life that way and taking the risks and doing what I really want to do and not being afraid to do it. You know, like I said, this podcast was a huge thing. I was so afraid to do it. I was so embarrassed to do it. I was like, who's going to listen to me? Who cares what I have to say? And so when I got into it and, you know, I saw the love that I got from my friends and my family, it really did push. And from a lot of people who somehow found my podcast and, you know, sent me messages and said, hey, I love your podcast, it's helped me through quarantine. It's like, wow, really? No way. You know, I have those podcasts for myself, and I just, it makes me happy to know that my podcast is like that for someone, because I know how helpful a podcast can be. And like watching YouTube videos, it can get you through a lot, it can take your mind off of a lot. So I just, for 2021, I want to continue doing my podcast. I want to continue doing things that make me happy. I want to continue, you know, taking care of myself health-wise. You know, in 2020, I lost 40 pounds and I got healthy, and, you know, I was super grateful for that, because my weight was something I really struggled with growing up, and especially in the past 3-4 years. I was gaining and losing weight a lot. I had reached a point where, you know, it was bad. You know, I was at a weight that I'd never been in my life. And so in 2020, I took it in my hands and I was like, you know what, it's in my hands. I need to do something about it. And so I did. You know, I ate healthier. I went on keto for a while. I watched what I ate. I was a lot healthier. And I lost 40 pounds. And it's something I'm proud of. Now, obviously, that weight does fluctuate. I do go up 10 pounds, go down 10 pounds. But I've learned to accept that that's just how my body is. And that I need to, you know, just watch what I eat and eat healthier. You know, when I eat a lot of sugar, I gain weight. When I don't, I lose it. So it's like I still finding that balance and finding what works for me, obviously. But you know, that was a huge accomplishment for me in 2020 and made my 2020 amazing, because like looking in the mirror and wearing clothes that I've always wanted to wear but I couldn't because of my weight makes me happy. You know, I when I sit next to my friends, you know, and I'm not the fat kid out of my friends, it makes me happy. And so I've seen a lot of people in 2020 also, from TikToks to Instagram, who lost a lot of weight, and it's amazing, you know, whether they did it through what they ate or working out, you know, they achieved that. And so for me, my next goal maybe is to start working out. I'm a lazy person, but I don't know how far I'll get with that, but maybe I'll start working out, you know, not just what I eat, and hopefully maybe I can lose even more weight and gain strength and gain muscles and, you know, be a lot more healthier and fit. So maybe that's something I can work towards in 2021. And so I just want to continue having this mentality of working on myself and know it. And I think I've realized that it's a continuous thing. Like, I can't just do something once and expect it to stick and be like, okay, I'm good, I'm done working on myself. No, it's something continuous, and we're going to change as humans and as people. Our opinions are going to change, and we're going to evolve. And, you know, everything we do and believe will start to change. And whether it is we start, you know, backing away from certain things or getting closer to certain things, it's each person on their own, and it's their own journey. And so 2021, let's keep working on ourselves. Let's focus on doing better. If there's something you weren't able to achieve this year, continue working on it. Don't just be like, oh, I didn't achieve it in 2020, whatever, we'll give it up. Don't give up. Continue working on it. Don't let just because you put like a clock on yourself that, oh, it's over, that's it, it's done. Don't give yourself a time limit. Don't give yourself a year limit. Don't give yourself, you know, these huge goals. Start with little goals. You know, like if, let's say you want to lose weight, start with 5 pounds. Start with the next, after you lose the 5 pounds, maybe 10 pounds, then maybe 15 pounds. And do those goals that way, not time-wise, like, oh, by the end of 1 month, I want to be down 20 pounds, because you're not going to be able to achieve that. You're going to, or you might, but you're going to achieve it in a way that's not healthy, in a way that's not correct, and you'll wear yourself out. So you need to take your goals little by little, and over time, when you look back at a year, you'll be like, wow, I can't believe I achieved all that, you know? But don't go next year, I'm 200 pounds, I want to be 130 pounds by next year. That's it, that's my goal. And you don't set small goals in between, you don't know where to start, and you don't know where to go, and you don't know how to continue doing it. So it's like, hey, my first goal is losing 5 pounds. I tried working out for a whole month, I didn't lose those 5 pounds. Hey, maybe let's try dieting. Oh, dieting helped me lose the 5 pounds. Okay, let's continue doing that. Next is 10 pounds. Oh, I only lost 7 pounds. Dieting, maybe I should diet and work out the next month. Let's see how much the next weight goal, let's see how much that is. Oh, dieting and waiting made me lose 10 pounds. I'm gonna continue doing that. And just set those small goals and achieve those small goals, because those are victories in themselves. And then when you look back in a year time and you're like, wow, I lost altogether 45 pounds, that's insane. So just take it step by step. You know, my 40 pound weight loss wasn't overnight, it was over 6-7 months. And it was a lot of work, it was a lot of self-discipline, and it took a while to get into the mindset of that self-disciplined mind, like, no, I can't eat this, yes, I can eat this. And so I had to train myself into that mindset. You know, the one thing I honestly really do want to say is take care of yourselves. Don't put pressure on yourselves. Don't feel guilty if you didn't achieve the goals you wanted to achieve this year. This year was a rough one. So I pray and I hope that this next year is amazing for everyone, and I hope that this next year brings you closer to God. This next year brings you closer to, you know, achieving your goals. And whether it's big goals, small goals, it's all victories. And whether you want to set a resolution or not, set that for yourself. I'm going to set small goals and I'm going to set big goals. And like I said, my goals are to continue working on myself, to continue making this podcast, to continue my fitness journey, and just to keep at it. And those are my large goals. Small goals, not sure what they are yet. I don't know how I'm going to set my small goals. I'm probably going to have to sit down, write them out, see what I want to get done short term. But I encourage you all to do that. Sit down, take a moment, reflect on the last year, reflect on the next year, and I hope whatever it is you set, you achieve. And so I'm saying goodbye to all of you for this year, and I'm saying goodbye to 2020, because the next time you're going to hear my voice, it's going to be 2021. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all the support you guys have shown in the last little while that I've been doing this podcast, and I honestly truly do appreciate it, and I appreciate all the love, and I love you guys. So thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay 6 feet apart, and don't miss your prayers. Until next week. Bye.